13, and we're going to look at verse number 5. Most of you think when I say turn to 2 Corinthians 13 that we're automatically going to that verse, and probably are. Amen. But you just pray that the Lord will help us, and as we look at the Word of God here in just a few minutes. If you found your place, say amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, here's what the Bible says. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the great privilege to pray. We thank you for the honor that we have to have a copy of the Word of God, that we can read it and study it and know, Lord, what your will is for our life. Lord, everything that we know about sin and salvation and the Savior and the second coming of Christ, all that we know about ourself, dear Father, comes from the pages of your Word. Lord, I thank you for giving us the Word of God that we can know. Lord, I pray you'll take us today, take us beyond ourselves, take us beyond the physical, and get us, Lord our Father, in the realm of the spiritual. I pray the power of God be upon us today. We're not here to perform. We're not here, dear Lord, to just act out a part. Lord, we're not here because this is where we pastor. Lord, we're here today because this is the open door that you have sent us to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray now that you'll direct my thoughts. And Lord, anoint me to preach and anoint the listeners as they hear and they listen. May they receive and respond to the Word of God. Lord, when they get in their car and go home here in just a little while, Lord, what I've said probably will be forgotten. But Lord, if somehow you could speak to them, Lord, if you, dear God, could get personal with this awaiting congregation and help us today to hear your Word, hear your voice, speak to us, Lord. We're a needy people. There's not one person here that does not need you to speak to us. Please, Lord, speak to us. Allow your Word to come alive. Allow your Holy Spirit, dear Father, to move mightily in our midst. And those, Lord, that are not saved, those that are not 100% sure for heaven, Lord, we pray you'd deal with their hearts today. Those that are saved but not right with God, deal with them as well. Deal with us all. We all need it today. In one way or another, we need you to speak to us. And Lord, when the results of the service comes in, we'll be careful to give you the glory. We'll be careful to give you the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we begin preaching, I want our church, along with myself, to quote our verse. Before we go any further, Psalms 115 and verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Amen. We want to give him the glory. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, you know as well as I do, a lot of times I have a hard time of going back and saying much about this verse without getting bogged down. But just simply want to mention that this verse was given to a local church. It was given to the church of Corinth. It was given to a professing body of believers. Didn't say that all of them were saved, but it did say that they were all in a membership type setting at the local church, at the church of Corinth. Paul's writing to them and said, examine yourself. No doubt Paul suspected that hid out in the membership of that church was lost people. People that were religious but lost. I believe one of the most, probably if I could use a strong word, probably one of the most damnable things that's ever come through this world, and it's been here ever since the devil's been here, and that's religion. The devil's very religious, very religious. Very religious. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that he has transformed himself into an angel of light. Amen. He don't mind trying to quote a verse or two. He don't mind. He don't even mind you going to church. Amen. As long as you don't get serious about the Lord. But only an examination will reveal whether or not you truly know Jesus. And that is to be done personally. It's not something parents can do for children. It's not what a husband or wife can do for each other. It's not what a pastor can do for members or vice versa. But it's what you must do for yourself. You, individually, are under obligation to know whether you're saved or not. Nobody can get saved for you. Nobody can. Amen. I wish I could. I wish I could get saved for others, but I can't. I got saved myself 27 years ago, and it's wonderful. Amen? And I'm telling you how good it is. The Bible tells us how good it is. How good it is to be saved, and you should want to be saved more than anything in this world. In fact, if you're not saved, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss heaven for sure. But let's look at some things here we've talked about. If you examine yourself, and you will find the Word of God working in your life. You will find, my friend, the work of God at work in your life. You will find your walk is what we're going to look at today. You'll find the walk of God, your walk with God, your walk for God is what we're going to look at today. You'll find the witness of God. You'll find the Holy Spirit is in you if you are saved. And so I want you to pay attention to that, all right? So let's look now, if you would, at our text verse, 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6. There's two or three verses that I want to really emphasize in the message this morning. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6 will be our main verse of Scripture we want to look at. 1 John 2, verse 6. The Bible says, let's read starting in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Now our text verse, he that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Now if you'll notice the statement in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him. Abiding in Him is another way of saying that he's saved, that he's in Christ, that he knows the Lord as his personal Savior. Well, the consequence of that is this. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now hold your place there. We'll be back at that verse here in just a few minutes. And I want to point out three basic truths out of that verse of Scripture. Now there's a lot said in the Bible about your walk. Your walk as a believer. In fact, there's a lot said in the Bible about your walk as an unbeliever. A person that's not saved can be identified by their walk. And when we talk about the word walk, we're talking about their path, their behavior, their conduct, the direction they're going in. Their walk, just really, the word walk encompasses your whole life, how you live. Your walk and your how you live is one and the same. But there are several verses, and I want to read some of them in your hearing this morning. And of course, like I said, we'll be back to 1 John 2 and 6 here in just a few minutes. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now there's a crowd that says we're saved, preacher. We're saved, but their walk is not a walk in the light. It is a walk in darkness, and darkness in the Bible is a type of sin. Amen? The Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And that is, there's no sin in Him. Amen? But the Bible said if a person say they are in fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness, they lie. They're not telling the truth. Amen? Verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. These are verses that emphasize the word walk for the believer. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, listen, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 8 in verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you'll notice, the last part of that verse identifies those in the first part of the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who are they? How can we know who they are? The Bible said it's those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? All right, let's notice another verse. Romans 13 and verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. See, another reference to the believer's walk. Ephesians 4 in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Gentiles referring to people that are not saved, people that are lost without God. He said, now that you're saved, he said, you should not henceforth, that is from this point onward, the rest of your life, you should not walk as other Gentiles walk. There's a problem when there is a lack of separation. When a person claims to be saved and they are living like, talking like, acting like other lost people, something's wrong with that picture. In fact, I believe I could say it this way. If there's no difference, then things, if you're not different, then you're still the same. If you're still like them, then you're still one of them. But we're to not walk as other Gentiles walk. Amen? And then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, another verse. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Colossians 1 and verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, we find another verse dealing with the walk of the believer, one being worthy of the Lord. Not that you would ever be worthy of Him, but that if you would walk in this light, walk in the Scripture the way Jesus said, then you would show Him His worthiness. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Another verse, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. To receive Christ means you've gotten saved. He's in you. Now what's this verse? This is a powerful verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If you've received Christ Jesus the Lord as your personal Savior, it will show up in your walk. And remember, the word walk identifies your whole life. It identifies your talk, how you behave, how you act, what you desire, what you think about, how you talk, the direction of life. All of that is in the word walk there. And the Bible said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And we'll look at that verse again a little later on. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. That ye, talking about the believer, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Are we giving you these scriptures today? I want you to know what I'm preaching today is not my opinion, not my idea. It's the Word of God. And sometimes when you preach on how people ought to live, they look at you like that's your idea, preacher. That's your opinion, you know. That's right. But it's not my opinion. It's what the Bible said. And no matter how straight I try to preach or anybody else that you know try to preach it right, we could never nail it down as tight as the Bible presents it.
I mean, if we preached it all the time, we could never exhaust the subject. Until you're in Christ's likeness, then there's plenty of room for growth. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Paul put right there in a connection together your walk and your pleasing God. Amen. How you walk spiritually as a believer is either going to be pleasing God or not. Amen. All right, that was 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, how that you ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. It ought to be an increase. And then 3 John verse 4, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So there's a lot of verses that has to do with the walk, and that's just a few of them. I want you to turn back, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 4 in verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 4 in verse number 18. Matthew 4, verse 18. The reason I'm having you to turn to this passage of Scripture is because this is the very first time that the word that is in our text verse, walk, is used. And our text verse, of course, is 1 John 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now the Greek word that is translated there, walk, is found in Matthew 4, verse 18 and following. And I want to read these verses. This is the first mention, what we call the first mention principle. Now why should we be interested in the first mention? Because when you go back and find where a word or a subject or a doctrine is used for the first time, first mention, then the way it's used will carry that throughout its usage throughout the Bible. Amen. So we're interested in the first mention principle of study. So we find the first mention is here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible said, and he saith unto them, that is Jesus, said to Peter and Andrew, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So there's your word. It's the word follow. Follow is the word. What is our walk supposed to be? Following Jesus. Believers are followers of Jesus. If someone out here says, I'm a believer, and they're not walking the path of Christ and following Him, then they're not telling the truth. Amen. So here he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and did what? Followed him. Now there's some things I want to just point out to you in passing here about that first mention setting. What does it say to us about our walk as a believer in this first mention setting? First of all, when I look at this statement here where Jesus said, follow me. And by the way, he says that to everybody that gets saved. Follow me. Amen. In John chapter number 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So following Christ is an indicator that you really do know Him as your personal Savior. Amen. Here's what I've noted, some things. Here it is. What kind of walk is set forth in this first mention of the Word? What is it? First of all, it is a directed walk. When Jesus said, follow me, He's telling you, I am the example. When He's saying, follow me, your walk should be behind me and do as I do. That's simply what a Christian is do what Jesus would do. Amen? And so it's a directed walk. And as Jesus directs us and lets us know, He's the one that should let us know how we should live, not the world. Not the world system. But Jesus is our pattern. Jesus is the one that gives us direction. But not only do I note that it is a directed walk in that first mention, but it's also a demanded walk. When Jesus said, follow me, that was not a suggestion. When Jesus said, follow me, that was not a good idea. When Jesus said, follow me, that was a command. In fact, the word follow me is in the imperative mood, which identifies an order and a command. So Jesus is not asking you, all right, now that you're saved, would you be interested in following me? I think it would be a good suggestion if you'd follow me. No, He's given forth an order. He's given forth a command to follow Him. Now watch this. Preacher, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. Oh yeah, if He paid for your sin debt, He has rights to tell you what to do. And here's the real heart of a believer. We want Him to tell us what to do. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 4, that His commandments are not grievous. We don't mind as a believer for Him to command us and tell us how we should live and what we should do and not to do, because you see, we love Him and we want to honor Him. If it's me quitting something to honor Him, then so be it. If it's me starting something that I'm not doing, then if that would bring Him honor, then so be it. But God's people are interested in following Him. But it's a demanded walk. And then I want, in fact, the Bible, the word follow me, you know what it actually means? Come here. You ever had a dad, your daddy to tell you that? What did you say to him? Well, I don't know about your daddy. Let me give you a personal example. When my daddy spoke and said, come here, it also means come now. That's what it means. I studied it out. It means come here and come now. Well, when my daddy spoke, come here and come now, I didn't ask anybody around me, do you think I want to go? And I sure didn't send a word back to him and said, hey, who do you think you are? No, because I'd have been in the hospital. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. Daddy didn't believe in giving me quiet time. My quiet time's when I couldn't talk. My discipline of standing in the corner is because I couldn't sit down. Amen. That's right. I'm afraid we've lost some of that scriptural discipline. Amen. I don't want to get on that. But my daddy, when he spoke as an earthly father, come here and come now. But I made tracks. Nothing I was doing was more important, I promise you. Daddy's command automatically became a priority. And I knew if I didn't go, that I would be the one that regretted it. I would be the one giving testimony of the results, visibly and verbally. But it was a sense of urgency. Come here. Come now. I want your attention. I've got something I want you to do that's more important than what you're doing. My Heavenly Father is saying to all of us that are saved, come here. Now watch this. I was just aiming on bumping this and going on, but I'm done seeing some stuff in it. When He says, come here, come now, for you to come here means you're going to have to come away from where you are. Jesus is not coming to you. You are being called to come and follow Him. You're to come now and to come here. Amen. Following Christ is getting close to Him. It's, amen, responding to His authority. Amen. A lot of people are not walking the walk they should walk because they don't want to leave where they are. They don't want to stop what they're doing to go to Christ. But I don't want to get bogged down here, but it's a direct, demanded walk. And then thirdly, are y'all ready for this? I'm talking about right here in the first mention principle. Right here it is, first mention, setting the pattern of what it's going to mean throughout the New Testament. Here it also not only identifies a directed walk, but demanded walk, but also a duplicated walk. When Jesus said, follow me, the word follow also, many other times in the New Testament, means to imitate. It means to imitate or to mimic or to copy. Amen. When Jesus said, follow me, He's telling them, use me as your example. Use me as your pattern. Duplicate your life after me. Now, I know a lot of times we preach on separation or bump it occasionally. But you know what? Everybody practices biblical separation. No, let me say this. I don't know if I could word it biblical or not, but everybody's practicing separation. Everybody does. You know, we preach standards. Did you know everybody's got standards? Every person in this building's got standards. That's right. You came in here this morning with your clothes on. That's a standard. Is that not a standard? Is that not a standard that you've got? Instead of coming here with no clothes, you come in here with clothes. That's a standard. You said, I've got a standard, I'm going to church with clothes on. Amen. That's a standard. Everybody's got standards. Some just don't have them as high as others. But everybody practices separation. You're either separating yourself from the Lord unto the world, or else you're practicing separation from the world unto the Lord. I choose that one. I choose that one. I don't want to see how far away from Him I can get. I want to see how close to Him that I can get. And so it is a duplicated walk. He's given us an example that we should follow in His steps. And then, let me say, whatever this is, number four, I guess it is, it's a developing walk. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, if I could just get you to walk and following me, I can develop you. I can make you what you need to be. Amen. Whoever you're following is molding you. If you're following after the world's molding you. Amen. And whoever you're following, you are trying to duplicate. Whoever you're following, whatever you're following, you're trying to duplicate. So all I have to do is to just kind of observe how you talk and how you live and how you walk and so forth, a few things. My friend, and I can pretty well discern whether Jesus is your pattern or whether the world is your pattern. Amen. I've never had anybody, Brother Silas, to get offended at me when I preach against sin and worldliness and carnality that's wanting to get close to God. I've never had anybody get upset at me, meet me at the back door and say, preacher, I tell you what, I don't like that preaching on biblical separation. I don't like that. Well, why? Because I'm trying to get close to God. No. The people that gets offended when I'm preaching biblical separation and standards of the Word of God is people that I'm identifying where they are and the direction they're going in, and they're going toward the world. Amen? But I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen? Because it's in the Bible. I promise it is. But it's a developing walk, and then it's a dutiful walk. Dutiful walk. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, there'll be some work, there'll be some service. I want to try to bring you into a life of duty and service, servitude to the Lord. And there's a lot of things. In fact, it's a good study for us maybe at a later date sometimes to just go through the New Testament and look at the different places and times this word walk is used and how it is used. And I'm going to preach these or even read them, but I just like, for instance, in Matthew 9 and verse 5, the man sick of palsy, that is, was a paralyzed man. He could not walk on his own. Guess what happened? Jesus came by, performed a miracle on him, and then here's what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to arise and walk. What kind of walk was that? It was a different walk. He was walking a walk that he didn't walk prior to the touch of the Lord. Amen. Here's another example. Jairus' daughter, she was dead. In Mark 5, verse 41 and 42, she was dead, and he come to her and said, arise and walk. And she began to go across and walking. Amen. That was a displayed walk. It was very evident that she had been given life. All right, let's go back to our text really quick here, and let's look at this verse for a few minutes tonight, or this morning. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6. 1 John 2 and verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now what am I preaching about this morning? I don't want to lose you. What am I preaching about this morning? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate. We're trying to give you biblical evidence that you should be able to find in your life if you are saved or not saved. Every saved person have these things in their life. It's not a matter, well, preacher, that's you, and you know, and something else for me. No, we're talking about general truth that's applied to all believers. You'll find the Word of God, the work of God, amen. You'll find the witness of God. You'll find all these things in your life if you're saved. All right, now let's notice a few things about this walk here, and we'll be done today. I want to share three truths out of this one verse of Scripture. 1 John 2 and verse 6. Are you there? Say amen. All right. The Bible says, I'm going to read them, and I'm going to tell you what I want to deal with, and then I'm going to go back and deal with them. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, would you not agree with me that that verse definitely shows the attachment of your profession and your practice? If you profess to abide in Christ, you're saved, you're in Him, you know it's going to show up in your walk. Alright, here's what I want to show you. I want to deal with these three simple truths. First of all, the confirmation of the walk. Number two, the constraint of the walk. And thirdly, the copy of the walk. And that's what I want to look at in that verse. That's what I want to look at in that verse of Scripture. He that saith, he abideth in him. That is, you could give a verbal testimony, I'm saved, preacher. He that saith, that's verbal, isn't it? He that saith he abideth in him, here it is, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now I want you to notice a word that got big in that verse when I read it and was studying it the other day. And that's the word also. He that saith he abideth in him of himself also. That's a big word. It's only four letters, but it's a big word. It gets in the way of a lot of people. He also. Now that word also is a connecting word. It's a linking word. It's a word that takes what you're saying and hooks it up with your steps. The word also, do you see that? How many sees that? Say amen. The Bible said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also. Also to do what? To walk even as he walked. So there is the confirmation. In other words, we've heard it here in the mountains of Tennessee. We've heard it said like this. We've heard it said like this. If you talk it, walk it. Or let your walk match your talk. In other words, there's a phrase, some phraseology that hooks them together. Amen. A lot of times we get in trouble when people try to talk it and they're not walking it. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say when your practice is different than your profession. Nobody wants to. I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't want to hear what you got to say. I mean, you can talk to me about fishing, you can talk to me about whatever, just don't talk to me about the Bible and spiritual things, if you say one thing and live another. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Bible calls that hypocrisy. And we'll never know this side of heaven how much damage has been done to the cause of Christ by people that talk it but do not walk it. Well, how do we know that their talk is right if their walk matches it? That's why I call it the confirmation of the walk. The walk confirms the talk. The walk confirms what you're saying to be true. Well, what is it you're saying? That you abide in Him. That you're saved. That you're in Him and He's in you. Amen? I like it myself. But amen, walk it and talk it. And then there's some that maybe try to walk it, but they don't never talk it. They don't ever say nothing. You never hear nothing verbally out of them. They never stand up in a service to testify. They never witnessed anybody on the job. They never witnessed anybody on the street or in the neighborhood. They but yet, seemingly, in their walk, they're trying to walk, at least morally. They're trying to walk somewhat of a Christian. But they don't talk it. And then there's others that don't do neither. They don't talk it or walk it. And they claim to have it. And by the way, they're not all out west either. They're right here in Rogersville. They're right here in Rogersville. There's tons of them. They have no desire for God, no love for Jesus, no desire for His Word. They don't, nothing. There's no evidence whatsoever. And they never talk it, and they do not walk it. They don't live it. They don't even like it. But when you ask them, "Are you saved?" they'll tell you, "I'm saved." There's something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with that. Amen. A real child of God can be identified both verbally and visibly. They talk it and they walk it. Amen. I like that myself. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Remember the verse I emphasized earlier? "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." That little word "so" says the same. If you've received Him, so walk ye in Him. The walk confirms that you have received Christ. Walking in Him is both the result and the revealing that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now this may seem to be elementary right here in our church, because we hear it all the time. But you'd be surprised how many hundreds and probably thousands of people in this area, according to what I've been preaching this morning and will yet preach this morning, they don't know Jesus. They may know about Him. And may I say to your friend, there's a big eternal difference of knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. You can know the information of this Bible. You can know the basic doctrines. You can read this book and get an idea about Jesus. But knowing the information is not knowing Jesus. I can read a book and I can know about the book, but I don't know the author. Are you listening? The word "know" in the New Testament many times, in fact most of the time, is referring to experiential knowledge. And experiential knowledge is first-hand knowledge. Experiential knowledge is not, "Well, I've got a mom and daddy that loves God," or "I go to a church, you know," or whatever. First-hand knowledge is, "I've experienced it, preacher. I've experienced Jesus myself and do experience Jesus." Knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord is an experiential knowledge. And by the way, let me just deal with it right here. It's not an experience that you can hem up in one day. For me, if I would say January 20th, 1981, I got saved by the grace of God. I come to know the Lord that day. I experienced Jesus that day. No. Can't be hemmed up in a day. Brother, the experiential knowledge of Jesus is ongoing. People that are saved are people that are walking with Jesus. They're following Jesus. Amen. The confirmation. I'm not giving you my opinion. I hope y'all understand that. I'm not giving you what I think or what I feel or what Baptist says. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and Jesus right here in this passage lays it down good and straight and strong. There's really no room for interpretation here. It's pretty well self-explanatory. That if you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Amen. There's a lot more I can say about that. Let me give you this example, and I'm going to move off that point. The confirmation. Lord, give this to me this morning, or reminded me of it this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Don't have time to turn there, but you ought to read it sometime, starting about verse 13, probably through the rest of the chapter. Jesus, in His discourse there, is dealing, Brother Williams, with the difference between the false and the true. And in that passage of Scripture, He gives several examples to show the difference. You remember the story? Here it is. I believe it starts in verse 13 and 14. He talks about the two different paths. He talks about the broad way that leads to destruction that has the wide gate, many there that's on that one. And then He talks about the straight and narrow path, you know, and the straight gate that leads to life eternal, and few that be that find it. So He's here now identifying the difference between the false path and the true path. Then He goes right out of that, and then He starts talking about the false prophet. He starts talking about the false prophets. Well, how can you identify the false prophet? He said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You don't gather grapes out of thistles, and you know. He said, whatever the fruit is what they really are. Well, then He goes from the false path to false prophet, and then He goes to a false profession. Many shall say unto Him, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works? And you know how it goes right on through the... A lot of religious things that are commendable. And they said, Lord, we've done all of this. We've even prophesied in Your name. That is, Lord, we've been preaching for You. We've been preaching for You. We've cast out devils. We've done many mighty works, which means miracles. Lord, we've performed miracles. But you know what Jesus is going to say to them? Depart from Me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Goes from a false path, false prophet, false profession, and that false profession goes on into the illustration and example of the two builders that built their house, one on the sand and one built their house on the rock. When the storm came, the one on the sand collapsed, the one on the rock stood. What's that all about? That's all about the difference between the genuine and the true. What is it that deciphers between the genuine and the false, or the true and the false? It's what path you're on. All of those in that whole text that's lost is on that broad road that leads to destruction. And many there is that's on that path. The true ones are those that are on the straight and narrow path. How can you tell where you're going? It's what path you're on. Don't expect to wind up in heaven walking toward hell. All roads don't lead to Rome. Are you listening? You can't go in the wrong direction and wind up at the right destiny. Your walk reveals the direction you're on and the destiny you're headed toward. Amen. Not too many today is on the straight and narrow path. They're not interested in it. They're not interested in it. They want to stay on that broad road where they can be popular. They want to stay on that broad road where the pleasure of sin is. They want to stay on that broad road where all their friends are. They want to stay on that because that's where everybody's at. Many there be that find it. But guess where their destiny is? It ends up in destruction. Amen. If you want to go to heaven, friend, you better get on the right path. Amen. Better get on the right path. But there's the confirmation of this walk. Number two, the constraint of this walk. Notice, if you will, the word ought. How many still got your Bibles open? Say amen. Ought. He that saith, look at it, he that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk. That word ought identifies my next point, the constraint of the walk. And I want to really deal with this, and not in great length, but I want to deal with it. That word ought I'm interested in how words are translated and used in the Bible. This word ought is translated, of course, 15 times as ought, 7 times as the word owe, 2 times as the word be bound, 2 times as the word duty, 1 time as the word be a debtor, 1 time as be indebted to. So when John is writing this verse, he said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself, that is, he's indebted, he's obligated, he's constrained, he's bound, he owes it. Amen. Now let me give you the definition. Of course, in the definition of that word ought is many of them same words. The word means to owe. It means to be under obligation. It means must. Does that mean anything to you? He that saith he abideth in him must himself also to walk. Put in these words in there. Must, should. If you say you abide in him, should himself walk. Amen. Of course, it means to be indebted to. And I want to ask you this morning, where is the indebtedness of the believers to the Lord? Where is that sense of, I owe him? Where is that sense of indebtedness and that I should do this because of who He is and what He's done for me? Listen, yes, we are saved by grace. Thank God we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Glory to God for that. I am not saved by what I do. And I don't serve Him and I don't honor Him and live for Him as a debt to repay. You could never in 10 million lives repay Him for what He has done for you. The debt He paid for you on the cross, you could never repay. God don't want it repaid. If He had wanted it repaid, or if we could have repaid it, then it would not have been that we're saved by grace, but that we were saved by a loan. When you get a loan, you intend to pay it back. They give it to you, but they're not really giving it to you because you've got to pay it back. That's not a gift. That's an indebtedness. That's a loan. I'm not saved on a loan. I'm not saved because He loaned me grace. I'm saved, thank God, because He gave to me salvation. Salvation is a gift. Now listen to this right here. But where is that sense of, Lord, I owe you. I can never repay you, but I owe you. Well, you ought to go and study sometime when you get a chance on Jesus' teaching on the unprofitable servant. No matter how much you serve, you've not went over bounds. You've not went overboard. You've not went beyond your means. No matter how much you give and do and serve, and no matter how much you go, you're still classified as an unprofitable servant. An unprofitable servant. In other words, your master deserves all you can do. But where is that sense of obligation? Where is that sense of indebtedness to the Lord? Do you not feel that you owe Jesus nothing? I'm talking to believers right now. People that say they're saved. People that say they're abiding in Him. Do you have that sense of indebtedness? Do you feel like you owe Him something? And we do. We owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. Because had not He come to where I was and dealt with me by His precious Holy Spirit that night and confronted me with the Word of God, I would have never got saved. I would have never been born again. And I owe Him. I'm not interested in what the world thinks of me. I mean, I want them to like me so that I can win them. But I'm not interested in fitting in with them. I'm not interested in looking like them. I'm not interested in that. That's not even important to me. Whether I'm wearing something that's in style or not, you cannot find a tear in my eye. I could care less. Because I'm not hooked up with it. I have got another spirit. 1 Corinthians talks about we have not received the spirit of the world, but of the spirit which is of God. Spirit of the world goes after the world. The spirit of God goes after God. Who's controlling your life? Which spirit? But the constraint, what would send revival to our churches? What would send revival is when God's people feel indebted to the Lord and walk even as He's walked. Want to honor Him. If it's mocked, made fun of, and laughed at, so be it. Criticized and whatever, it don't matter. Praise God that we can be identified with Jesus. Hallelujah, we can be identified with the Lord. We're not a bunch of wimps. Saved people are not a bunch of sissies. Amen. That's right. When the heat gets on, we just get tough. God gives us grace. We're just thrilled to be identified with Jesus. He left us an example that we should follow His steps. And as we follow Him, if we're made fun of and laughed at and so forth, then you know what we ought to do? We're not to pout. Lord, to shout. Jesus said, rejoice when they cast your name out as evil. Amen. Somebody, when you get word that they've lied on you again, you know what you ought to do? Instead of going punch them in the nose, that would be revenge and retaliation. What you ought to do is say, Lord, you deal with them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Lord, you deal with them. And while you're doing that, in the meantime, Lord, I'm going to rejoice because greater is my reward now. They thought they was harming me by talking about me and lying on me, but instead, they've just been putting rewards over into my account, praise God. That's what Jesus taught. That's what He taught, amen, in the Word. So we have the confirmation of the walk, the constraint of the walk, and then thirdly, the copy of the walk. The Bible said, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also, here it is, so to walk, even as he walked. There's your pattern. There's your pattern. Let me just mention this right here. And I'm all for a church having standards. I believe you ought to have them. But they're not for the spiritual. Standards are not for the spiritual. They're for the carnal. Those being controlled by the Holy Spirit don't need a standard. Those being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, don't need a rule and a code and a regulation. So I just thought I'd mention that. But the standards, my friend, are for the carnal, not for the spiritual. Amen. Our standard's the Lord. We're to walk even as He walked. But here's one of the dangers of a church having standards. You can set out, now we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. And you know what? People can line up with them pretty easy and still not even be saved or spiritual. There's a danger of having standards in a church, and I think they all need them. I think they all need them. You can tell most of them don't have none. But they need standards. But there's a danger of people lining up with a few standards and thinking, praise God, I'm really doing something now. No. You can line up with all that we've got and not even be saved. You can line up with all what few we do have and not even be spiritual. Are you listening? Our two or three little standards, my friend, is not the ultimate. It's not the ultimate. It's just the basic. If you want to go for the gold, guess what? Be like Jesus. That's your standard. That's your standard right there. There's your example. Walk even as He walked. Amen. Talk like He talks. Ask yourself, would Jesus say this? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus act like this? Let Him be your example. Saved people really do want to be like Jesus. And the glorious, blessed hope of every believer is that 1 John chapter 3, one day, the Bible said it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The believer longs for the day that we are like Him and never fail Him again. Never sin against Him again. We long for the day that the flesh is laid back aside and we're out of this world of its influence and wickedness and we're with Him and like Him forever. Hallelujah. The copy. Like Him. You're being like somebody. Everybody in here is trying to be like somebody. Somebody's influencing you. The world. Friends, Jesus, pastor, parents, somebody's influencing you. If they're not influencing you to be more like Christ, then you might ought to be praying about that influence. Amen. A lot of the music you listen to will not push and motivate you to be like Christ. If you listen to music, my friend, that holds you back from being more Christ-like, You need to just cut that off. Amen. Good rule of thumb is don't listen to nothing our choir couldn't sing. And I promise you, we'll not get up next Sunday morning and sing, "There's a tear in my beer." That's right. We won't be singing about multiple partners on Saturday night. Amen. Are you listening? That's the truth. Things you listen to, things you watch, people you run with, all of it plays as an influence. If you want to be what God wants you to be around people. My friend, go to a church and be around people that's going to influence you in that direction and motivate you in that direction and challenge you in that direction. If I was looking for a church, I would want to go to a church that did not have no dead preaching. I don't want no liberal in a pulpit. I don't want to set my family underneath a preacher that's living a low spiritual life. I want a preacher that's out there in front, as y'all have heard me preach that before. I want a preacher that's going to challenge me. I want him to preach to me, one, of where I'm at. And I want him to preach to me, two, of where I need to be and tell me how to get there. That's what I want out of a man of God. A man of God is not supposed to be a hireling. Man of God don't roll over for a paycheck and a benefit and a parsonage. A man of God is a messenger of God. He's God's ambassador, standing in the stead of God, declaring the truth of God's Word. I want a preacher to preach to me where I'm at. I want a preacher to preach to me where I don't need to be. I want a preacher to let me know, and parents as well. Amen, if I was a child and you were a child, listen, we should want parents, you young people, you should want parents that'll tell you no every once in a while. Some kids don't even know that word's in the human vocabulary. The only time they ever use it's when they tell mama, "No, I'm not washing the dishes." We're raising a generation today that's out of hand, out of control. And only God knows what this country's going to be at in 10 years. But God's... Listen, yes, the world's wicked. It always has been. It is wicked, and it's not going to get any better. But I want to tell you this. God has always had a remnant. God's always had a people. God's always had a nucleus. God's always had a number. And I'm glad to be in that number. I'm not looking to fit in with this world, be popular, and win all of the trophies of the world. I'm interested in pleasing Him who saved me. I have a sense of obligation to Him. I have a sense of indebtedness to Him. He saved me from hell. Thank God that right there is enough to shout forever over, that I don't have to feel the fires and flames of hell. Thank God I'm heaven bound. I'm going to glory. I know that. Why? Because I got saved by the grace of God 27 years ago at the age of 20. I've come to know Jesus as my personal Savior. And He put in me, Brother Craddock, right then and there in that altar in North Carolina, He put in me a desire to serve Him and to live for Him, to honor Him. And I owe it to Him. He deserves it. He deserves the best I can give Him. Amen. We talked about what? The confirmation of the walk. Your walk confirms what you say you've got. If you claim to be saved, your walk will confirm it. Your walk will be one of separation, sanctification, and service. In all of that, there was the constraint of the walk. Ought Himself to walk. And then there's the copy. Jesus is our pattern. We're to walk even as He walked. And that will be true in a believer. So look at your walk and see if you're saved or not. Let's all stand to our feet.